I'm kind of glad that this celebration of life is several months after my mom passed, because for those of us, especially those close, we didn't want to remember her the way she was in the last few years. And in the this has given us enough time to remember the woman that she was for the first 9 years. And it's just amazing to think that you can live that long, be healthy for all but the last few years, to have 5 kids, 5 spouses, to have 8 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and all of them healthy. It's just really quite remarkable. And also to be blessed with so many wonderful friends. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that's all I could hope for, is to have that. I mean, at the end of your life, you can say that you've had a great life. I do have a couple of special memories that I'd like to share with you. The first is probably back in around when I was in high school, and it'd be my mother sitting at the typewriter. I know I've lost some of the younger people right now. What? But anyhow, she would be at the typewriter, and it was located in the world headquarters of G.A. Sibula, which, for those that know, was the basement of our house on the Tenzap Avenue. And anyhow, after listening to me type with one finger all of the essays or reports and stuff that I'd have, I wouldn't have to get too many pages in, and she would come downstairs and she'd bail me out. And she would type and work on these things. Inevitably, I left them a little bit too late, like most young people do. And it's not until I got older that I appreciated just how much she would rather have been doing something else, I'm sure, like relaxing or maybe going to bed. But not a complaint. She just typed my essays, reports, and I'm always going to be grateful for that. Not just the fact that she did it, but the fact that it shows how much she cared about all of us. The second memory that I want to share is from 2003, when my wife Beth and I took our boys, Greg and Ben, we took them to New Zealand. And I had talked earlier with my dad, and he was telling him about the trip that we were going to do. It happens that they were going to be in New Zealand at the same time. So I was explaining how we were going to hike the Milford Track. And the Milford Track is one of the 5 great walks in New Zealand, the most popular one. And he was just blown away by how beautiful it was. And he said, oh, if I was younger, I'd love to do that. So I said, well, Mom are in good shape. Why don't you go training when you're in California and see if you can get yourself where you can do it. So you have to be able to walk 20 kilometers a day back to back. And there's 79 and 81 at this point. Anyhow, so train they did, and so we rendezvoused. This track is 53 kilometers long, it's 4 days. You stay in these Department of Conservation huts, carry your own food, off we went. We had Ben, who was 9, is a year younger than the minimum age to be on the track. We had Dad, who was 81, about a month shy of being 82. We were told on the track that's the largest age spread that had ever hiked that particular track. So 3 generations. We head off. The first 2 days went off really, really well. But on the third day, it was a 14-kilometer day, and it was on a hike up over McKinnon Pass. On the way down, Mom really struggled with the footing, and it was a lot rockier, a lot steeper than we had anticipated. So we didn't quite make the final hut that we were supposed to make, and you don't have any options in this. There's only, these huts are spaced 15 kilometers roughly apart, and that's where you're gonna sleep that night. So it got dark, and it was quite late, and we ended up having to sleep in a worker's hut that hadn't been occupied in several months. It was quite interesting. But what it left was 21 kilometers to walk the last day. And to make it even more difficult, the last ferry off of the end of the track, because there's ferries both at the beginning and at the end, was at 3 p.m. So we had to make the 21 kilometers by 3 p.m. And also, we had later that day, we had booked an overnight cruise in Milford Sound. So there was a little bit of pressure, to say the least. So we got up at 5 a.m. after a very, very short night's sleep, and by flashlight, we started hiking, and we got to the hut that we were supposed to have been at the previous night. And that was fairly early in the morning. Unfortunately, there were some really, really nice hikers from New Zealand who had offered to take some food to lighten the pack the previous day. And they thought they would do us a favor and take our food to the very end of the track. So this left us with one chocolate bar and about a third of a jar of peanut butter for the six of us. And we had 18 kilometers more to hike. So, like, this is where my mother's determination, or maybe stubbornness, kicks in. And despite having just a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of peanut butter for fuel, and having to share that with everybody. She said she was not going to disappoint her children. They were not, or her grandchildren rather, they were not going to miss that cruise. And I got to tell you, she was a bit bloody from a few falls and barely able to stand by the end of it. But she made it at 3 p.m. And we got on the ferry and we went on our overnight cruise. So my wife Beth will tell you that she had the best mother-in-law ever. And that day she realized the power of grandmother's love for her grandchildren. And amongst all the other lessons, it was just such a wonderful lesson to teach us, and I'm very grateful for it. So thank you for celebrating this day with us, a wonderful mother-in-law and grandmother.